Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Time now for our opening commodity market report. Here to do that is Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Monday morning, everyone. The White House this morning pushed up its forecast for the U.S. budget deficit for this year by $89 billion, reflecting the recession, a raft of new unemployment claims, and corporate bailouts. A fresh estimate of the deficit showed it coming in at $1.84 trillion, representing 12.9% of gross domestic product. In the current 2009 fiscal year that ends on September 30th, a prior White House forecast released in February projected a deficit of $1.75 trillion, or 12.3% of GDP. The report from the White House Office of Management and Budget also revised the deficit higher for the 2010 fiscal year, forecasting it at $1.26 trillion, or 8.5% of GDP. That's up $87 billion from the $1.17 trillion projection given in February. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 84.75 is down 99 and a quarter points. The NASDAQ 1741.45 is up 2.45, and the S&P 500 at 917.07 is down 12.16 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading on this Monday morning. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 6:30, down 3 on the open. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, July wheat opened at 5:90, down 1 on the open. September, 6:16.5, down 3 quarters. May corn opened at 4:12, down 2 on the open. July, 4:18, down 3. September, 4:26, down 3.5. December, 4:36.5, down 3.25. March of 2010, 448, down 2.5. May, 457, down 1.25. July, 465.5, down 0.5 on the open. July soybeans open at 1080.94, down 17.5 on the open. August, 1056, down 17.5. November, 961, down 18.5. January of 2010, 964, down 18.5 on the open. May soybean meal open at 357, down 250 on the open. July, 337, down 450. July soybean oil opened at 39.20, down 41 on the open. June live cattle open at 82.85, down 12.5 on the open. May feeders 99.30, down 5. May lean hogs 61.30, up 17.5. And July pork bellies 80.25, up 25 on the open. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Let's go right out to the marketplace. It looks like off the opening bell, Kurt, they really tried in Chicago to test the nearby support levels of beans, and when they couldn't break it, and they're now drifting ever so slowly back toward maybe positive territory.
Hey, we saw some selling interest overnight, and first thing here this morning, outside markets a little softer tone, a little planting progress taking hold here this week. Then, too, the Asian soybean business might be in question a little bit here, so it gave reason for the market to start a little lower, but we feel the lows that we established overnight will hold here as a trade awaits tomorrow morning's monthly reports and even this afternoon's planting progress report. And thirdly, the weather forecast as we go through the week, Dave.
Yeah, let's start putting some of those things together and see if we can figure out where the market is headed. Let's begin with today. What do you think the Eastern Corn Belt Planning Report will tell us? And combine that with at least the weather forecast that we know of at the moment for the 6 to 10 day.
Well, that's a good question. I think the trade estimates from most analysts show that corn could be 45 to 50% planted versus 33% last week, and 51% compared to a year ago. So we're maybe slightly behind last year's pace as a nation. But the main thing, as you mentioned there, is Eastern Belt, and particularly Illinois. When you go back in history to the great flood year in 93, we saw that the market reacted later, but in the growing season, but the market might get excited comparing to that year particularly, because last week we were 5% done as a state versus 4% in 1993. But even in that great flood year this week, the report showed we were 41% complete as a state of Illinois, and I don't think we're even close to that. I'd be surprised if we're over, 15%. So if you're going to start watching particular state, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio are struggling here. Then plus, too, there's other parts of the country that did had some fairly decent planting progress but found themselves underwater, too. So weather is the most upfront topic here this week. We're expecting showers and thunderstorms starting Tuesday through Wednesday, anywhere from a half to one and a quarter. And again, this coming weekend, anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches on fairly good coverage, Dave.
So we have two issues in front of us. Will Eastern Corn Belt producers at some point give up the idea of putting in corn acres in favor of beans? And is there some point down the road, date-wise, where we begin to lose yield on corn acres? And the second one is harder to answer, I think, because every year we get new varieties and new stacks. So I don't know how you compare apples to apples.
No, I don't. Yeah, I think producers will plant corn clear in the end of the month here. There's some talk of switching and so forth, but we don't foresee that happening. I see some areas where they would take preventive planting payment before switching in some areas. But for the most part, there's not been any semi going back to the dealer switching as of yet. But you're correct on the today's hybrids and varieties. And if weather cooperates, they can catch up in a hurry compared to what we saw last year. And everybody said, well, that was last year. Well, we'll see. But when you can produce 240, 250 bushel in some areas, and if you lose 2 bushels a day for 10 days, that's 20 bushel. If you take 20 bushel off 250 bushel, still 230, which is a heck of a good yield.
It's a heck of a good yield, and it's really hard to know whether or not you'll even get that much. And the one thing I keep coming back to with last year is the July we had a perfect July. So that makes it even harder to know what these hybrids are doing.
Well, we'll see. Each year is going to be different. This year is going to be definitely different from last year. I would be under the opinion that, the later we go in here, it's going to push the pollination period back into more of a vulnerable time of the growing season. So once we get the corn in the ground, the trade's probably going to discount that. Then 3 to 4 weeks after the corn's in the ground, then you can start talking concerns about, the adverse conditions. A lot of you guys have been farming for a long time. You can go back in history. I know the hybrids are better, but even in 83, you were wet, cold, market reacted, then market sold off once we got into the field and got corn in the ground. But, man, as soon as we turned 1st of July, it was 100 degrees for several days in a row.
Why did the dollar break so sharply last week, and do we put any significance on it?
Well, everybody's got their opinion about the dollar, and they're all wrong. Basically, the dollar was a safe haven, and the sell-off last week was due to the movement of money out of the safe haven, but you can see that money come back in at any point in time. The big debate is the euro, the European currency. When you look at other parts of the world, they're still fairly unstable, so there's going to be a lot of volatility in these currency fluctuations for some time to come, Dave.
And what will tomorrow's report give us, if anything, to really that might have legs on it? Anything with legs?
Well, more confusion, more uncertainty is what it's going to generate, especially on the bean side of the equation, because when you look at this huge bean demand base we've seen, it's going to draw down the inventories quite a bit compared to what we were looking at a few months ago. I think the average trade guess is about 130 million bushels versus 165 this last go-around. And the significance of that statement is you take the smaller carryout, throw it into next year's supply-demand balance sheet, you're actually going to have more bean acres to satisfy the demand side of the equation. So we'll see what numbers we have to work with. We've got a halfway decent idea on acres, subject to change here in June, but there's a lot of unknowns out there. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, we're still unknown on acres. We're still unknown on yield. We're still unknown on export demand. We're still unknown on feed demand. And we're still unknown on ethanol demand. There's just a ton of unknowns out there that can really have this market fluctuate a ton between now and this fall.
Thank you, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.